you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie. Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio. All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. This is, interestingly, the first one that I've recorded for 2025. I've done some other stuff and a lot of kind of archival year-end episodes, but I'm finally getting back to recording new podcasts, which is kind of nice. And it's cool that the first newly recorded podcast of 2025 is with someone who's been on the show, was on the show right at the start. It was Rob Crooks, who is, original co-host of this show and many, many other things. And we're here, I guess, to talk about your new record that just came out. So I think the people who listen to this podcast probably know who you are, but if you want to do a quick introduction of who you are and what you do, that'd be a good way to start.
Yeah, my name's Rob Crooks. I'm a bedroom producer, beat maker, and vocalist. Usually make music over my own beats, but also make music over other people's beats, and sometimes people put vocals over my beats. And I'm part of a crew called, Saskatoon Folk Rap Records. It's kind of a label and, I guess it's a label / sort of, it's a movement.
Okay. I like that. And I like your description too. Have you always thought of yourself as a bedroom producer? Like, has that always been sort of the place you put yourself in, or is that something that recently has come to sort of define what you do?
Well, it's extremely accurate, especially sure. Now, because I do most of my music in my bedroom. It's not something I would, it's actually something that you used to call me. You've called me that a number of times. And that's sort of like, I guess.
I don't remember. Yeah, I believe you, but I don't remember. Yeah.
But sorry, go ahead. But it clicks, you know, I mean, I don't have a jam space. I don't record in studios. So everything is sort of, you know, when I lived in a bigger place, I made it all mostly in my living room, but now I have a much smaller place, so I make most of my music in my bedroom.
Cool. Then it fits, I guess. Yeah. I don't remember calling you that, but I'm sure I did. I mean, I call people less things. So the reason why we're talking today is because you have this new record that came out sort of at the end of, the end of last year, right? Like really late 2024?
No, it was.
Or was it already?
It was like the first Friday of January.
Okay, so it's fresh. It's a new record that just came out. It's called Music People. What can you tell me about the making of this one? Because it seems like you've been pretty productive over the past like couple of years. Whether it's doing beats for people, your own stuff, you did that the Gazza Jean record, you did the Epic one. You know, you're showing up a lot. I think just on people's albums and things like that. So is this like? Do you feel like this is a very creative time period for you? Like, do you think that you're doing more than you would have otherwise, or does it just seem that way?
I think I'm more, I don't know if I'm doing more, I'm maybe finishing more, I'm maybe more focused, and I think that just sort of like some lifestyle changes have increased my productivity. I don't really have much of a social life anymore, so I spend most of my time away from work making music, and it's sort of, I think like it's also I've come to the point in my life where I'm more sort of focused in how I want to spend my time. And I want to spend a lot of my time making music. So I think that's reflected in the amount of stuff that I've been putting out recently.
So when you say that you, you're finishing more, do you have sort of a habit of having things that are started and just kind of hanging out until you can get whatever it is you need to finish it? Like, do you have a bunch of projects on the go at any given time or what?
Oh, yeah, I do. I have a bunch of projects on the go, like currently and usually. But I also have a number of projects that were never finished and will never see the light of day. That's
right.
That's becoming less of a thing. I think that I'm more focused on completing stuff now. Whereas in the past, it was, you know, I was still always making a lot of stuff, but putting together those loose ends maybe wasn't my strong point always.
So do those, you know, earlier loose ends, those are, I'm assuming you still hold on to that music you made, but you're not, it's not for release, right? It's just stuff that you've kind of done and learned from or developed sounds from into something else?
Yeah, basically. I think when I was making it, I was making it with the intent of doing something more with it, but for one reason or another, it just never came to that.
Okay, fair enough. So what is the, I guess, what's the timeline on these songs? Because, you know, like we just sort of discussed, you've had a bunch of things come out recently. I don't know how long, how far in advance you worked on some of these things, but how much time did it take you to put together this record? Is this all new stuff or some of these ideas and some of these songs or beats or whatever, things that were kind of left over or unused from other things you were trying?
Well, I do a lot of planning of music more, where I like set out to make a project and then I work on that project and develop it over time. But this particular album wasn't quite like that. It was spurred by a specific event that really, I don't know if inspire is the right word, but it was the catalyst to me just sort of writing a bunch of stuff that came out really fast. And I wasn't even writing to beats, which is, again, that's not something I typically do. I usually do write to beats. But yeah, I had this event happen and I just wrote out a bunch of stuff and in an hour or two. And what I wrote ended up becoming sort of like the core of the album. I ended up going back and like reworking it. And I think it, you know, probably came out to like three or four different songs that were sort of the core of the album.
Yeah. Well, what was the event? I mean, is that something that's kind of meant to be kept kind of secret when people can figure it out for themselves? Or is this something you're like, you know?
Well, I do.
Publicly telling people. I mean, I know it does seem like, I'm sure we'll get into this. It seems like all the songs flow together in like a linear sort of, like you mentioning things in one song that gets brought up again occasionally in the next one and so on. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the album's sort of like a narrative, right? And the, you know, the album is about, you know, being a musician and sort of dealing with, I guess, sort of the good and the bad of that. Mostly the bad side of it, I think. But it was the event that I'm sort of like cryptically referring to. Is that one of my favorite musicians, someone who I just listen to their albums very often. I became aware of some accusations against them that I had no idea about. And so I was made aware of this Rolling Stone article about it. And it's one of those things where I went in and I'm like, okay, well, let's see what's going on. How bad can it be? And then it just turned out to be so much worse than I was expecting. And so I think that was the initial driving force behind this like creative outburst or whatever. But then, you know, over, I guess, like weeks or whatever, I sort of expanded this and extrapolated it out more to like a bigger problem in music in general and you know, the music community and like the music scene and the music industry and all these sort of bad elements that are involved with it. It's like you can't, like, if you want to put music out and you want to perform at venues and things, like you put yourself in touch with a lot of shit that you might not otherwise want to be around, right?
For sure.
And this is something that was also like, you know, this was also something that was happening in like like I'm a, you know, I'm a hip hop artist mostly, and I like am really interested in underground rap music. And I think like sort of around this time there was this sort of reckoning of a lot of the indie artists that I was aware of, not necessarily people I was fans of, but certainly people I was aware of and who were in the circles of people I was fans of, or like even that I knew personally. Okay. And so it was like, there was just a lot going on, I think, in the background of this album.
Split with my woman friend, quick stint at my mom's again, nothing in common. I wondered if we'd get along, it wasn't given. Picking up movies and watch them together with difficulty when the other suggested my turn to choose. Have you heard of Youth, Michael? Kane, Rachel Wise, Harvey Keitel? I didn't know Kozelek would be in the film. That's why he wrote the track, Birds of Flims, I suppose. Of course it is, I misinterpreted it first. I texted my ex not long after that. It was a song that we had. She was not as excited as I was. I just thought it was a nice fun fact to have. Down to prepare for a reading group. Sarah had volunteered as the lead we'd both be speaking to. I said, all right, it's me and you. Couple weeks debating, studying inflation, monopolies, and shaping our thoughts on these situations. Lot to read to explain it. I wanted to fill an article for Leninist Party Press, a summary of a theory that was Marxist, but I never did. I sipped coffee, pulled up Rolling Stone on my Hitachi to see what he was saying. It's more than I anticipated. The length of the pages of a decade of it.
When I first time I listened to it, and I guess the first couple times because I was looking at the lyrics, which is always nice to have on a rap album, especially. But it seems like there's, you know, yes, there's definitely a narrative, and a lot of the songs almost seem to bleed into the next one, not sonically, but you know, the lyrics. But it seemed to me like you were, on one hand, like talking about hyper specific, hyper personal, like stories of something that actually happened to you. And then it seems like some of the other songs, and sometimes even in the same song, are tackling much larger issues. Like the one you released as a single before the album came out, that one is a little more issue heavy and a little less, you know, obviously personal. I mean, it could be that personal element's there too, but do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like there's the personal issues and then the capital I issues.
Yeah.
And it's a good mix.
Yeah, and that album or that song was like the single. Like, it was pretty much the only song that could be the single in a way, because it was the only one that wasn't like directly, like you didn't have to know the whole album to understand that song. Whereas like the other songs are kind of like part of a larger story. So just hearing them one at a time, it doesn't quite make sense. But yeah, that song was sort of just like about one. I guess like a big part of what was influencing the writing on that album. It also had a little bit to do with, you know, relocating to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And sort of seeing the parallels, between Winnipeg and Vancouver, and also just like learning a bit more and not like just learning a bit more through talking to people. And again, this had nothing, like, this wasn't because of the album. This just happened. Actually, I forgot now, in that song, there is a part where I do tell a true story of where I met someone and they told me about how their mother was someone who was found on Robert Pickett's farm. And I would hear stories about how how deeply involved like police and elected officials in Vancouver were to that whole event, and it's just so fucking disturbing. That was I think a big inspiration for that song in particular.
Okay. Do you you know, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago that people listening to the songs outside of the context of the rest of the record, I mean, I probably even asked you this before. I'm not sure, but you know, people are not going to necessarily listen to it start to finish. I mean, I did because I had the CD. I'm sure most other people who bought the physical one are going to listen to it like that, but it's not a given at all now in 2025 that people are going to not just pick and choose individual songs. Do you care about that? I mean, if someone's going to listen to it out of the context, does that matter to you? Would you prefer, I mean, I'm sure you'd prefer they take in the whole project, but what is your thoughts on someone, you know, going right in the middle, picking a song and they haven't, I know it's not a concept record, but it kind of is, right?
Yeah, it is kind of a concept record. I mean, I think that that's more and more what I want to do. I'm not interested in just like making songs, like individual songs.
Yeah.
I think that's totally going against the grain of what, of how music is consumed. And I,
yes, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm not really trying to, not going to try to fight that. I mean, why, like, oh, what point would that even be in me fighting that? So, you know, like people listen to music how they're going to listen to music, but I'm more interested in making like albums that are like complete projects and that you know, aren't just a collection of songs like a lot of albums are. And even like some stuff that I'm working on now, which will be coming out soon, it's like I'm doing the type of stuff where like I'm going to put four songs on an album, and each song is going to be like 10 minutes long. Like that's more, sort of like more where I'm headed. So it's not conducive to becoming popular in this age of like digital streaming services. But at the same time, like, it doesn't matter. And also, like, that's still what I'm interested in, like, listening to, right? So it's
for sure.
So it is what it is. And I think, like, for every person who just, like, only listens to music through, like, Spotify playlists, I mean, there are still those people out there who listen to music like you and I did growing up, you know? Like,
yeah,
wanting to listen to music front to back, wanting to, like, read the lyrics along with it, you know, blah, 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 so...
And those Spotify people are the same. They existed back then too. They just knew the radio singles, didn't know anything about the artist, and you know, they just heard it on Power 97 1,000 times or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are those people who like really take playlists really seriously too, and like to find the best songs and like curate their own mixes or whatever. But I mean, we did that too, right? We made mixtapes, right? So
for sure. I mean, so different. It's just technology has changed.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one way to listen to music ultimately, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. I guess so.
When things start getting bad, they start getting bad for women first. Forced into lives that are precarious and insecure. Vulnerable men are worse than vultures, more sinister. Not even they know who they really are. Invested in a system, they defend it and hold vendetta against those who bend gender and threaten to expose the whole dead agenda. Descended the very bed of Western adventure on the land of other settlers. Act hysterical when you question what they hold to be essence. Harkening back to historical myths. Walking animals, hardly batting an eye, starving gasms. Defer begin Ellis, Main Street and Higgins. Don't make me paint you a picture. Ethnic cleansing, special oppression. All this phony wisdom, faux civilness, it's colonialism. Can't get this place to cash in off real estate. The damage you create, some vanish with no trace. Fascists are roaming, aggregated, acting bold. Not just fashion, the culture, in fact, the structure, the way we live. Struggle exists in our relationships and the ways we love each other. Killers in the shelters where they're left to do their duty work. Thugs, pimps, and drug dealers, racist settler murderers. Bodies in the river and the land. Racialized people in prison, I wonder. Are thousands in houses, same idea, isn't it? Same system, how come different outcome? Racism. I can't Mercedes be stopped to visit. Brought provisions and a lady I talked with said something's rotten in it. They found her mom's bones on a farm owned by Robert Picton. She said it wasn't just him. Frequent all-nighters, policemen and bikers. No secrets can hide from downtown east side. From the north end to the B side, where women go missing almost every night.
Red river rushing,
the
red river's rushing. Red dresses rustling in the wind. There used to be fishing in these muddy, muddy gutters. Red river froze
when the red river's frozen.
Cold fingers rusted in the wind. What fish would be swimming
in this bloody, bloody waters. Red river rush and the red river's rush. Red dresses rustling in the wind. They used to be fishing in these bloody, bloody gutters. Red river.
I was going to ask you about the cover art, because obviously it's very Manitoba-centric. I mean, Winnipeg-centric. There's a Winnipeg police car. There's the MTS phone booth, which you don't see very often. And this is the same guy who did the your previous couple records ago, right? The artwork.
Yeah.
This looks very familiar, the style.
Evan Collis, he did the Introducing the Ghost album cover.
Thank you. I was blanking on the title, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great, amazing artist. And I'm lucky to have been able to get him to make the album cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we sort of talked about like what it should be and how it could connect to the themes of the album, and you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because it's not, you know, I mean, I figure he probably could have listened to the record and come up with something similar just from hearing it, but how much direction did you give him? Like, did you have this idea of the phone booth thing and all that like ahead of time, or
okay,
how did that get?
So I felt a little bit, even though I tried to clarify earlier, I feel like I'm being a little bit cryptic, and I don't know why I'm being so cryptic.
So I'm not sure.
So basically, because it's all there in the album. Like, I talk about this, like, very openly on the album. Like, if you listen to lyrics, it's all there.
Yeah.
So the person who I used to really love listening to, and who I read this Rolling Stone article about, is Mark Kozelek.
And he's mentioned by name in a bunch of songs on this one.
Yeah. And so I don't know why I was being so cryptic. Like, it's like one of those things where, like, you think you're not supposed to tell people what the songs are about. So you like, but like, I don't know. Anyways.
But you've included the lyrics, which are very, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But so Mark Kozelek, one of my favorite albums by him is just A Phone Booth. A Picture of a Phone Booth, the cover. And he apparently has like a photography book where he just takes pictures of phone booths. And it's
interesting.
It's fucking obnoxious, I think. And so that's why I wanted to have like a phone booth, but I wanted like the phone booth to be put into a different context where it's not just about like a past technology or like the anachronistic value of it, but it's like you know, these are situated in like real life context. So like that phone booth was like sort of based on the phone booth that was outside my apartment when I lived in West Broadway. And also about like it sort of brings up these memories of like, I think it was... Well, you know, like I'd come home from work down Broadway and you'd see these like young sex workers on the yeah. street. And so like this album is a lot about like misogyny and like sexism in the music industry specifically. But then like how people who think like, I feel like there's an upsurge in like music. It's really heavy in like comedy too, where there's this idea where you can sort of just say anything again, like.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Like you can say sexist jokes or racist jokes and it's just, it's just a joke. But it's like, I was grappling with how these things are tied to real live issues and how these are tied to like real people's lives.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of the thinking behind that album cover.
It's cool. It's definitely evocative, I think, of the tone of the whole thing too. What do you think is the? I mean, I don't know if there's an answer for this. But what do you think is the reason for that? People feeling emboldened to? It's not even that they're feeling emboldened. I don't know what you mean to make sexist jokes or racist jokes or whatever. It just seems like someone has decided that it's okay to do this again, and people are just actively doing it with no sort of pushback. It's weird.
Well, I guess on some level, it's like a pushback against the. I don't know. the like quote unquote cancel culture or whatever, but
right,
which was sort of not really a real thing in a lot of ways also, but you know, I think for like it's not like I've been studying this question and give like a real.
Well, I'm just wondering what your take is on it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think like it, you know, there's a lot to do with the fact that like the whole world, like at least in the capitalist world, certainly in Canada and the United States, like it's we're going very much in a right wing direction, and with media, it's being sort of conglomerated into fewer and fewer hands. And so you have people like Elon Musk who buy Twitter, and you know, say they want it to be a completely like free speech sort of platform where people can say anything. But the fact is, you can only say things that he agrees with, right? Because if you say anything like against Elon Musk or anything left wing, there's the chance that
it'll get blocked or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, it'll get blocked. So, you know, and I think there's just this. There's also these just like trends in capitalism, I think, where you see like the level of profits going down. And so you see a reaction by the monopolies to try to get more profit any way they can. And I think by just like in some ways, like if you're a comedian or whatever, like appealing to the lowest common denominator, I think is sometimes a successful strategy, because we're so trained to sort of think in right wing ways. And so it seems like almost natural to the way that we're thinking, like, you know, there's only two genders, or like women like are weaker than men, and all this kind of shit. We're sort of like subconsciously trained to think this way, so that when like a comedian gets up there and says it, it's like, or Pierre Poilievre or something says this shit, it's almost like, wow, he's being so brave, but really it's just he's saying the fucking,
he's being an asshole still. He's
just being an asshole who's repeating the fucking baseline of ideology in a capitalist country. And
is it just because it's easier to have these like dumbed down kind of black and white views? People just gravitate towards it because they don't have to think, like they don't have to put in any effort to sort of recognize nuance.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it. I think our education is really poor in this country, like because it's been so underfunded and manipulated and messed with by the right. And sometimes it does feel like if you want to explain issues like why like racism is wrong, or why like trans people have the right to exist, you know, it's like you almost have to like push against the baseline ideology, right? So you have to kind of push back against what people consider common sense, because it's not it's not common sense, but it's what you're fed from like day one, like on TV and in movies and at school. You're sort of fed this like view of the world. And then when we have like, you know, scientific explanations for why these things are incorrect, it takes a little bit more time to explain it. But I think that there's also like a level of like economic interest in these things too, where people who benefit from the status quo don't want to change it. They, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So there's that.
I don't actually even remember how we got on this topic from talking about your record, but no, it's I don't know if it's probably not an answerable question, just because it just seems to be the unfortunately the way things are going.
Yeah, I saw something today and it was like on YouTube, and it was like some fucking dumb comedian being like, "Oh, I made a racist joke and the internet loved it." And there's like these comedians, and they were like talking, they were like all just laughing at it. The internet loved it. But it's like, okay, so you're fucking the people watching you on the internet love that you're being a racist. So like that's it. It's like, it's great. My fans love it. So you have no fucking morality, or you have no sense of responsibility, or.
That seems in line with how people are using the internet in general, though. I mean, people all want to be famous. They want to get like what they want to be create content creators, right? So, I mean, if your content is racism, there's going to be an audience for it. And it's probably easy to, you know, easier to get that those people to like what you just said rather than having something that's, that has a little more thinking involved or a little more, yeah, you know, details, I guess, other than these people are bad, these people are good.
Yeah, well, it's like in a profit-driven system, like profit makes right, right? So
right.
I remember seeing this, watching some like, or reading something, I can't remember, about like that Russell Brand guy and about how he has like a podcast and like he had somebody on to talk about why, I think I'm getting this right, I'm not sure, but why the vaccines were bad. And he was like sort of, at first he was sort of like, well, I don't know, like the science says it's okay, like blah, blah, blah. And then, what was it? Something like he had that person on again and he completely agreed with them and was like kind of going super like far alt-right type shit. And then his ratings, yeah, just like went fucking through the roof. And now he's this like far-right like kook, you know? But
yeah. And he used to just be some guy who did a lot of drugs and talked about it in a silly accent.
And it was like sort of funny, but sort of obnoxious.
Yeah. But not like repulsive like he is now. Like now he's just gross. It's,
yeah. Like
it seems like he's just, it seems like an act, right? And I think a lot of people like that. It seems like they've like you said, they found where their audience is, right? And they can just
well, like,
stay there and make money.
Yeah, it's like they don't fucking believe in anything, right? They'll just do whatever gets them the views or the likes or whatever.
So then this is maybe too big of a question to answer, but as someone who is creating work that obviously has more nuance to it and is talking about issues in a more detailed and morally responsible way, I guess.
Using federal law in section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act, I will order my government to deny entry to all communists and all Marxists. Those who come to and join our country must love our country. We'll let them through.
I don't know about all that, but I know I went all out in 08 when I linked up with Matt, Zach, Derek, and Nate. Just some random art project we started. Some art for the sake of the art type of garbage, no point really. Just friendships and dope joints, silly antics and epic effing shows. The whole point is it's pointless to make music with no point. The point is we people should join to make noises for causes. Let's pause these obnoxious posturing impostors for applauses. I say all this to say this to say that a bald fist is not just a symbol, so save that. Fight the power and verbiage if you're not willing to fight for hours or nervous to rap what's not popular or tackle a topic that causes discomfort or opens your oculus.
Yes, it's a great, great band. Yes, one of the best. Yes, sure. All of our American boys, sure. Can't hear you. It's a long distance. All right. I'll bring them to you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Don't like to see these rap groups falling down.
I never moved from my city to pursue a career. When we were building up Foul Tone, our crew had no fear. When we formed Make Them K.I. and set the stage, and I was ready to sacrifice everything. We opened up for Ab Brute at the Pyramid. After the show, he asked the crew to go on tour with him. Our manager proposed I stay home to cut the cost. I saw a bigger picture, don't get bitter, trust the process. Turns out they didn't get along for a minute, is what I heard when they returned, it is what it is. Shout out to Freak Show and ATQ and all the rappers with egos in every state I'll never make it to. I wish I could tour the whole U.S. of A. Now it's harder cause this way, larger forces at play. I'm sorry to say, it won't be anytime soon, but I'll be marching with the gorilla army when I do. They ain't letting commies in the country anymore. Either in Metropolis or on the sunny shore. Either in the factory because they'll cause revolt. They ain't letting commies in the country anymore. Either in Metropolis or on the sunny shore. Either in the factory because they'll cause revolt. They ain't letting commies in the country anymore. Either in Metropolis or on the sunny shore.
Love our country. We don't want them when they want to destroy our country. Welcome to America. We want to destroy your country. Thank you very much. So we're going to keep foreign, Christian-hating, communist, Marxist, and socialist of America.
Do you, like, does any of that bother you at all? The fact that we're in this world where people are just trying to get shock value or likes or whatever. I mean, you're obviously making this music, like you said, in your bedroom, and it doesn't seem to matter so much, you know, if it gets massively successful or whatever. Does that, do you feel obligated to sort of push back against that a bit with your stuff, or is that just naturally what comes out of you?
I don't feel obligated to push back against it, but I do, like, I am consciously trying to make music with content that I would like to hear, like to make like openly left-wing music, because I would like to listen to that. Like, I like listening to communist artists, and sometimes like there's so few and far between, especially in the English speaking world. So I make music because I want it to be like that. I guess there is like a level of pushback, but it's more like a pushback against like left-wing anti-communism, where you hear like really cool artists and they're like left-wing in their lyrics, and then you find out something about them that's like super disappointing, and it's just like, ah, fuck, you know, like I don't want to bring it.
It seems like kind of the message of the whole record is finding out people did something disappointing and having something to say about it.
Well, yeah. But like, I don't know. I just make music that I think I would like to hear, and that I would think was cool. But, you know, maybe if I had more fans, I'd have to think more directly about pushing back against specific things.
Yeah.
Like if I was,
that makes sense.
I was getting like hundreds of thousands of listens or something, it might be more of an issue. But I think with my tight crew of listeners, they're good people, you know, so
we hope so, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
So if people haven't heard this record yet, what's the best way to find it? I mean, I know you're not in Winnipeg right now, so you're probably not doing any shows locally.
I did one
I know you did one recently, yeah, but do you have any coming up?
No.
So Bandcamp probably, and then what's the best way to get this if you know, people who aren't in Winnipeg? Or are in Winnipeg, but aren't, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, we had some CDs that were being sold on Saskatoon Folk Rap Bandcamp. I think they're sold out.
I think I got the last one, actually, yeah.
Okay, cool. But yeah, you can go to that Bandcamp to buy the digital or to my Bandcamp, or you can go on the streaming services, maybe add one of my songs to your playlist.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you win.
Fuck yeah.
Good playlist. Yeah. And then as far as, you know, upcoming stuff, you're always making more music. You've been pretty prolific lately. I assume you occasionally do shows, even if they're not here in Manitoba. What's the best way to follow what you're up to as far as that kind of stuff?
Probably Instagram. My Instagram, Rob Crooks, at Rob Crooks. If I have any shows or new music or anything, I post it there.
Young, dumb, and drunk, man, you try fitting in. Confused, but no excuses, I knew better then.